Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out early to accommodate my schedule and for bending yours. So what we've been talking about pretty much on and off the last month or so, maybe a bit more, has been the machlokas between the Ran and the Rush. To summarize it one more time, and again, you have the sources in front of you if you want to take a look at them. The Ran is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, even Rabbi Yehuda, who is of the opinion that machshiri ochal nefesh are permitted on Yontif, he says that to sharpen a knife in a sharpener would still be prohibited. 100% aser, despite the fact that we know that Rabbi Yehuda allows machshiri ochal nefesh, says the Ran, Rabbi Yehuda would not allow machshiri ochal nefesh more so than the malacha of ochal nefesh. Meaning, what we're willing to allow for regular food preparation will be allowed for preparing the food preparation. Right? Because Rabbi Yehuda, again, allows you to take one further step back. So, ostensibly, we would have thought that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could sharpen a knife because you're allowed to do malachos, then, you know, according to him, to prepare machshirei ochal nefesh. Mm-hmm. However, says the Ran, no. Rabbi Yehuda, in actuality, holds you cannot sharpen a knife fully because you would not be allowed to do a full malacha like that even for ochal nefesh itself. And what's his proof? Anybody remember his proof? What's the Ran's example that proves that you cannot do a full malacha when it comes to ochal nefesh itself?
Because you can't do the full process for harvesting the wheat.
Correct. Harvesting, grinding the wheat. All of these are malachos which we would say, hey, that's part of preparing food. If I want to take some wheat and grind it up into flour, that's 100% ochal nefesh. No, machshiri ochal nefesh. Machshiri ochal nefesh is getting ready my knife. Ochal nefesh. And yet, what's the halacha about that? It's prohibited.
So grind the wheat.
Yet I can shecht.
Yet you can shecht. What is going on? That's going to be today's shear.
Why wouldn't grinding the wheat be machshiri ochal nefesh?
I don't understand. Why?
Because you grind the wheat, then you take the wheat, and basically you add some water, you make into dough, and you put it in the oven.
So it's actual ochal nefesh.
Is that one process? One process? Is that considered one process?
Yep. I mean, you could argue that about anything down to the last step. Mm-hmm. You could say that kneading is not machshiri ochal nefesh because it hasn't baking. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, it's considered ochal nefesh. Anything to do with the food preparation is ochal nefesh. And therefore, since this is food preparation, you would say that that's considered ochal nefesh, that should be mutter, says the Ran, it's aser, right. And therefore, even for Rabbi Yehuda, for machshiri ochal nefesh, it's going to be aser to sharpen a knife fully. The Rush, on the other hand, says no, absolutely not. It's 100% permitted, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to sharpen a knife and a sharpener, a metal sharpener, it doesn't matter what. You can sharpen a knife on Yontif. Okay? And the Rush said that which the Rif, please take one, that which the Rif went ahead and said that it was, this is today's one, don't worry, today's sheet. So the first part is similar to last week. We copied the first part from last week's sheet, and now we're going to go ahead and elaborate on that. Again, according to the Rush, that which the Rif said, that you're not allowed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, sharpen a knife on Yontif, was only because of the rule of halacha v'ein morin came, that you're not supposed to rule that way, but in reality, he says, even the Rif holds his mutter, and he brings a few proofs to this, he talks about this. So let's start with, again, anybody who wants to look back at the Ran, and we might make reference back to the Ran and the Rush later, but let's take a look at the Korban Asana. The Korban Asana explains the argument between the Rush and the Ran. On the side of the Rush, though, he basically comes to say why the Rush is right and why the Ran is wrong, and the Shir today is going to try to figure out their machlokas to answer how the Ran could respond to this. So says the Korban Asanel, in os number kuf, okay, you can see it corresponds to the kuf in the Rush, okay? Aval halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda de'afi mashcheza shel aven mutter, which we said was the thrust of the Rush's opinion to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds sharpening a knife in a sharpener on yontif his mutter. Udiloket pirish haran, says the Korban Asanel in source number 3, and again, we'll make reference hopefully back to the Ran of the Rush at some point. Udiloket pirish haran she'omer dibe mashcheza shel aven afilu Rabbi Yehuda modem. Says the Korban Asanel, no. It's not like what the Ran says, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, but in a stone sharpener, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, lefishu osa kli, that it's aser because you're making a kli. Uchashim she'ochel nefesh atzmo, aser litzchon ulerake, just like for ochel nefesh itself. These malachos of grinding are going to be aser, de malachos eluna asim lizman meruba. That these malachos, says the Korban Asanel, are done for a long in advance for a longer period of time. Meaning, when you grind up wheat, you don't grind up enough flour for today. You grind up enough flour for the next 6 months. You put in everything, and you're going with the millstones and everything, right? So they're done with man maruba, okay? Okay, this is how he explained the Ran, just like we explained the Ran up until now, that again, these malachos are prohibited because they're not so lizman maruba. So too, when it comes to sharpening our knife will be sharp for the next 6 months. Therefore, that's also what malacha hanasis lizman maruba, and just like we wouldn't permit that for ochel nefesh itself, we wouldn't permit it for machshiri ochel nefesh. However, says the Karban Asano, v'ani omer, and I say, shetzad kudivri rabbeinu, that the Rosh's reasoning is correct. What he has to say is correct. The sphere relay that he holds, afshihu osek kli al yidei mashcheze shel evan shari, even though you are completely making a kli 100%, and you're using stone and everything, and it's regular sharpener, it's completely mutter. Didan yalahad tanil elaf daf tezayin, which is actually daf yud zayin. Okay? Mimal aisha kol hatanor pas, afilu intarach ela lepas acha. Says the Karban Asanel, and this was a case that generated a lot of discussion when we first read through it. The Gemara tells of the following case. You can have someone's baking bread for yontif. And apparently, if you fill up the entire oven with breads, they will bake more evenly. I don't know if it has to do with the circulation of the heat or however you want to explain it, but it doesn't really matter. Okay, the point is the breads would bake in a fashion that people would prefer that for Yontif. So the Gemara says that it's permitted to make not one loaf of bread that you need for Yontif, but you can put in 35 loaves of bread so as to improve the loaf that you will have on Yontif. Says the Karban Asano, that's exactly analogous to the case of sharpening a knife. You're only making it sharp for the next 6 months. Why? So it can be the sharpest it possibly can be today. That, says the Karban Asano, is why the Rosh is right, and the Ran is wrong. Okay? And he says exactly like this, right? Kevan dehapas nefe yafe, since the bread bakes better, kishim malea when it's full, v'chomashehu ose umatriach hakolich bor haipas, and all the extra work that you're doing is for that one loaf of bread, for the one challah that's in the middle that you're going to use today, shenach al b'yondif, ha'chanami de'ai haidi ishris betov, ha'chanasa kli liyamim rabim, this that you sharpened it well, until it, so much so that it becomes a kli for many, many days, ha'kol hu ose lichvod hayom, you're all doing that for today, v'lodam yaliktira utchina, and he says the Karban Asano, what about the proof of the Ran? The Ran had a great proof. What about cutting, harvesting? What about grinding? Those seem to be supportive of the Ran. Says the Karban Asano, no, you missed the boat. In those cases, that's not what's going on. The lodam yaliktiruchina should darkam litzchar v'litchon harbe biyachad uma ahan yalei lishvach behach davar shuhut tzorach yantif. He says the general chiluk is like this, and don't worry about all the Hebrew words, but the general idea of the Karban Asano, which is to say, in that case, there is no improvement in the actual produce that you are getting because you did more. Nevertheless, people still choose to harvest all at once. So that's why those malachos are prohibited, because there will be no improvement by that which you're doing extra. Meaning, in the case of the bread in the oven, and in the case of the knife being sharpened, the more malacha you do, the better the result of today's stuff gets. But when it comes to harvesting, when it comes to grinding, does your flour get any finer when it's sitting in the pot, having more flour fall on top of it? No, it doesn't. Is it going to be any better, the wheat that you have, because you cut a lot of wheat afterwards? No, it's not. Says the Karban Asano, that's why those cases were prohibited. Because there's no benefit to the original malacha that's being done for Yontif. Okay, so this is the way the Karban Asano phrases it. I'm not going to explain anymore, because now I want to get in to what Rav Baruch Saraskin has to say. Thank you to the shul. Yes?
I have a vague recollection when we talked about this a long time
ago. A month ago, yeah.
That the rationale why you could do some of these things, including all the lobes, and
mm-hmm.
because it makes it better and it increases your simchas yontov.
It's unnecessary. It doesn't. It's unnecessary.
But you know, harvesting more wheat is not going to make your yontov any better.
Okay.
Doing something that makes your bread taste better.
It will make your you know, your yontif better if you're actually able to have it, right? It doesn't need to be tied into Simchas Yontif. So long as there's a need for yontif, that should be enough to permit it. And the question is, but the Korban Sano really makes a strong point here. He provides a valid distinction between the cases of harvesting and on one side, harvesting and grinding, and on the other side, these other two cases where what you're doing, again, is making today's product better.
Does everybody hold that you can do the bread in
the Gemara. Okay. No way to get around it. Okay?
Well, we're doing like Sherry Yom Kippur.
So now, how then would we be able to explain the run? The run is really stuck now. How would the run answer this? So for now, we're going to go to this piece of Rav Sorotzkin. It's right at the end. We have some of the source material on the back page that he's going to get to, but wait now, let's listen to the way that he says it. Okay, I'm going to try to explain it the best I can. Okay, so first he quotes all this stuff that we've talked about until now. Okay, this is Rav Sorotzkin. It's not on your sheet. I had a copy that was digital. Not typed up, but digital.
Okay.
And I decided not to put it on the sheet because I didn't want any incriminating evidence against him. Also, because I would have to put on the whole thing. It would get too long. I figured, let me just explain it outside the way I understand what he is saying.
Okay?
First thing that he quotes after explaining this whole machlokes, so that's taken us all the way till here. Okay? We've covered about one column in the Shiur of Rav Sorotzkin. I should note also, I don't know, there's clearly some issue with the people who say that they put it out. It says, Ne'avad v'ne'arach l'tfus mitok ksav yad kodesho. He was worked on and set up for printing, you know, from his holy handwriting. Yatza l'or al yidei mishpachas ha-mechaber. Zecher tzadik v'kadosh l'vracha. It says it was put out by his family. Now, if this was indeed put out by his family, they also lost my respect. Because in this tshuva alone, there's a very interesting typo. Every time it tries to say kitzira, which is harvesting, it writes kedera, because a tzadi and a dalit look very similar when written out in handwriting. Now, anybody with eyes that would be reading this would realize kedera utchina don't go together. I mean, unless you're talking about what's on your Shabbos table, you know, something's off with that. So I have to say, I was highly unimpressed. You know, if this is put out by the family of the Mechaber, someone's got to read through the shtickle. I mean, you know, to proofread it. So that was a little bit disappointing. But anyways, nevertheless, let's judge the piece by its merit. Says Rav Sorotzkin, he quotes you a Kehilas Yaakov, okay? Kehilas Yaakov is a stipler. And the stipler says, okay, he explains as follows. And we're not going to get into the first part of what he says. He says the following. He says, anything which is the way, and generally, okay, he says, that which we aser, for example, harvesting, okay, or if we aser grinding, that's because any time that it's the derech b'nei adam lehazminam liyamim rabim harbe, ein al malacha zu shem malachas yomo el malacha klalas. He puts out two phrases. One is called malachas yomo, one is malacha klalas. Malachas yomo means that it's a malacha which is generally done on a day-by-day basis. Meaning, anything which is aimed at doing something for today. It says when it comes to harvesting is a melacha, okay? Any sort of ktsira is a melacha that's generally done for a long time, okay? He says, so therefore that melacha falls under the naming of melacha klalis, or melacha klalit, okay? That's one type of melacha. On the other hand, something like baking bread, when do you bake bread for? Today! You don't break bread usually for the next 3 months. They didn't have freezers back then. It certainly wasn't a good idea. So that was it. Says the Kehilas Yaakov, when it comes to an asiyas kli, when it comes to making a kli, would you consider that a malacha yomis or a malacha klalis?
Klalis.
Why? Because that's something that's going to be going on forever. So based on this chiluk, okay?
So he agrees with the run?
So he's explaining to us how the run will answer the Korban Nisanel. Says the Kehilas Yaakov, okay? He says, on the one hand, we have Achronim who write, what's the problem of harvesting on Yontif? So most Afronimi says, say that it's because of a gzera. Once you start, you might continue to do more. Says the Kielas Yaakov, wrong. He says, if you look in the Ran, you look in the Ran in our Sukkah, although he doesn't quote that. He says, but you look at the Ran at the beginning of Perek Ein Sod, and you will see that that's not the case. But rather, it depends on the name of the Malacha. If it's a Malacha Klalis, it's going to be prohibited. That Malacha entirely is prohibited. And if it's a Malacha Siyomo, then obviously you're only allowed to do it for Yontif, and whatever is involved in that. Even if that means making it better. So in our case, says Achilles Yaakov, let's think from the Ran's perspective. The Korban Asana wanted to compare which cases. The cases of baking an oven full of bread and sharpening our knife. Why? Because it's both to improve the product that we have. Says the Korban Asana, says the Achilles Yaakov, the Ran will respond by saying, Korban Asana, no! You can't compare those two cases. Why? Because one, the case of baking a bread is a Malacha Yomis. However, the case of sharpening a knife is a Malacha Klalis, and that's why it's more comparable to the cases of harvesting and the case of grinding. Because these are all things that are generally done for a long time. It's not because of Xera that if I start to harvest one thing, I might harvest 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, which is a realistic way of looking at it.
Yeah, so if you don't do it Kedarko, for example, if you bake bread that's going to last you a month, even though it's a yom or whatever it is, in that case it's not going to be, but it's still permitted because it's generally, that's what it's called.
So there still may be an issur there to do that. Meaning we don't know whether or not the Ran would answer that. It's a fair point that you're raising. The Ran would say, even within a malacha yomis, you're not allowed to do it for no reason.
But you can go the other way also. You can
correct.
You can say, Xira, I'm just doing it for now. I have a little
even if you
tomato.
Did that,
I have
yes.
a little tomatoes. I want to pick my tomatoes,
right? Right? And the example given that we're going to talk about in the Ran, by the way. But that's exactly what we're going to talk about. The Ran himself will deal with the case. He says, what about something that's going to get spoiled by tomorrow? Like berries. Berries are not going to last till tomorrow. Can you pick those? That's what we're going to see. So now, this is the explanation of the Kihilas Yaakov. And says, basically, what Rav Sorotzkin does, he tries to extend this Kihilas Yaakov to say, this is the Rosh and the Ran Lashitasam. He says, according to the Korban Asanel and the Rosh, it's always a concern of a Gzera. It's an Isra Midrabanan because of Gzera. Whereas according to the Ran, it's all about the Milacha Klalis. Anything which falls under that Milacha will be Asr guaranteed. And even within a Milacha Yomis, then again, if you're doing it for the sake of Yontif, you're fine, even if you're doing it a lot. If you're not doing it for the sake of Yontif, then it's going to be prohibited. So far, so good? Okay. Now, here's where I'm going to ask you to turn over your pages, and I'm going to ask you to follow along four citations that he makes, from two from the Ran and two from the Rosh, and whether or not he is right, wrong, or just outright dishonest. Here we go.
Okay?
So he says, and he writes it, El Shira Kielas Yaakov, Pasach Lanu Haderech, Liyashiv Shitas HaKorban Esanel. He says, and he explains that he opened up a path for how to explain the Korban Esanel, that it's all about a Gzera, which is the Rosh, and the way to see the Ran, She'in Hatam Mishum Gzera, but rather, again, because of Shem HaMalacha. Okay, that's what he calls it, a Malacha Klal, Shem HaMalacha. So now, he quotes us the Ran, okay? The Rans that he's quoting are all going to be in the final third of the Ran. I brought you a whole beginning. I doubt we're going to get to any of the beginning, because he brings in basically all of the other Sfaros that other Rishonim have had in. Why is it going to be prohibited to trap fish, or to trap whatever animals on Yontif, right? And he brings in Rashi, that it might be Doraisa. He rejects that. He brings in this Shita, that Shita, this Shita, that Shita. And then, if you skip down, okay, I'll see it's about 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14 lines up. The fifth word on the line is Aval HaKarov Etzli Lefi Gemara Senu. Okay, do we see that? Aval HaKarov Etzli?
Yeah.
It's in the Ran. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Howie?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Aval HaKarov Etzli Lefi Gemara Senu says the Ran. Shekol Melaches Ochel Nefesh HaAsura B'Yom Tov Eino Elami Divrayim. He said, first of all, it seems to me that everything is an Isra D'Rabbanan. Shechachamim asru hamelachos hanasos liyamim harbe kiktira utrina. That the rabbis prohibited the melachos, which are done for a long time, like kotzer and tochin. Vikayotze bahen, and similar melachos. And says the Ran, getting back to your comments, Ve'af lekitas peros hanifsadim, kitutim va'anavim. So what about, asks the Ran, if I'm going to pick something that I cannot pick for 12 days from now because it's going to be spoiled. I can't even pick it for tomorrow because it's going to be spoiled. By definition, if I'm going strawberry picking, says the Ran, it's for today. There's no chashash I'm going to keep it for tomorrow because tomorrow it's going to be wormy. It's out of the fridge. Right? So says the Ran, it doesn't matter. Af lekitas peros hanifsadim kitutim va'anavim astru. He says the general malacha of picking, harvesting, is generally done for what? The future. Therefore, ostensibly, it's a low plug. Why? Because it's the shame hamalacha. This malacha of lekita, of kitzira, is a malacha klalis, explains Rav Baruch Sorotzkin. And therefore, the Ran is saying that even though it's not shayach here to have a gzera on this, how can you possibly say we're gozer that you might come to pick more? Let's say you had exactly a minimum amount of stuff in your field. Okay, you had exactly the amount in your field left of what you needed to do. Says the Ran, it's a low plug because this malacha of harvesting, this malacha of grinding, is usser.
Okay, except he's saying gzera now.
Who's saying Gzera?
The Run on the
where?
First part with Xera, the first part you read.
Excuse me, where does he say that?
Okay.
Does not once word. Why? It's an Issa Durabanan, doesn't mean. It just means that Deoraisa is mutter. Deoraisa, anything for Ochal Nefesh should be mutter. The rabbi said, these malachos we don't allow you to do. What does that have to do with Gzera?
But there's still, why did they do this exera? Why did they do that?
Because, in general, this malacha is done in a way that most of the time you're doing something wrong. So therefore, they made a general exera, if you want to call it that, on the malacha itself. This malacha we will not allow you to do.
So when we learned this back then, Gerald Zero, the way that we understood it, and when we went through the Rambam and everything else, is that up to a point was allowed, after that point wasn't allowed, because it could have been done before Yontov. And the Zero was, since it could have been done before Yontov, and they did not, he did not allow it to be done on Yontov. I mean, that's what I'm remembering from.
So that's why we would have to go back through the whole first part, but the Ran is not going within that. If you look up about 10 lines, he goes through the question of Lisha Ve'elach, Lemaitchina V'Harkada, but he does not agree with that view here.
Okay, fine.
Okay, it's fine. I mean, if we have extra time, I'd love to read through the Ran. The Ran brings about 12 different interpretations that he, again, does not agree with up until this point. But the major point is, reading the Ran right now, do you see what Rav Sorotzkin is saying?
Yeah.
I see what Rav Sorotzkin is saying.
Yeah.
Says Rav Sorotzkin, now we're going to jump down to the Rush. He says, now take a look at the Rush. Okay? He writes. Okay? You see, it is exactly 5 lines from the bottom. El Rabbanan hu digazur. Okay? Do we see it? That's the first words on the line. El Rabbanan hu digazur. 5 lines from the bottom of the Rush. El Rabbanan hu digazur al ktira uvitzira utchina, says the Rush, the rabbis were gozer on ktira uvitzira utchina, lafi she'adam ragil livtzor karmo ke'echad, viliktzor sadeyu ke'echad. He said, normally what do people do is they harvest their whole field, right? And they harvest their whole vineyard. And vilitzchon harbe bi'echad. Vilidrochan avav ke'echad. Lachin asru kol eilu didami lov dedechol. Okay? Says, right? The Rush. This is all a gzera. Since normally a person is likely to harvest his entire field, so therefore when you start cutting the first part of the field, we're scared you might continue, because that's what you would do any other day of the year. When someone starts to grind their wheat, in a chanami, at first it should be okay. But, no, we're scared you might continue like you do every other day of the year. Says Rav Sorotzkin, that's the Tzvara of the Rush. Do we see that?
It's like a Rushy esque.
It is Rushy.
What?
It is Rushy Tzvara of the
Kol. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. All good. Let's continue. And then he says, and I'll give you another example to prove my point. And for this, we're going to go back to the Run. Okay?
So...
So what's the point of the Rosh, what he's trying to bring out?
That the Rosh is all about Gzeira. The Rosh is all, once you start doing it, you might continue to do it that way. Therefore,
and Aran believes it's two different
types of malachas, malacha klalis and malacha yomis, and therefore the Ran will, going back to our case now, what will the practical difference of this be? According to the Rosh, so long as what you're doing is all for today, it's permitted, right? So therefore, even when you're sharpening a knife in its sharpener, it's going to be permitted according to Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Machshir Yochal Nefesh. However, according to the Ran, since it all has to do with the type of malacha, what's this, how is this malacha generally done, the Ran will also prohibit that knife sharpening, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because that's a malacha klalis dan liyamim harbe.
But why wouldn't the Ran? Why wouldn't the Rosh say it's ubdil chol? But when it comes to sharpening the knife,
so he says, because presumably it's not something that we're worried about. The person's going to continue sharpening because they can sharpen and sharpen and sharpen and sharpen and sharpen. It's all for today.
Or sharpen another knife, or sharpen something else. I mean, you know,
that's a difficult thing,
right?
Yeah.
Or
I don't think people generally sharpen all their knives together, do they? Maybe they did. When the knife sharpening truck comes around, I guess you'd sharpen all your knives together. You could make that argument.
Yeah. Or he's talking about the case where it's still on stone, but it's not in the specific sharpener.
No, the Rosh is talking about a specific sharpener. There's no question about it. That is non-negotiable. So very few things are non-negotiable in this year. That's non-negotiable. Okay. Let's take a look at his second time that he uses to prove this. Take a look at what the Ran has to say. Okay. You know what? First, let's take a look at the Rosh. Okay, and he continues. We'll continue from that point in the Rosh. Umitam zeh. Is everybody with me in the Rosh?
Yeah.
Okay. Umitam zeh nami asru tzeda. It's four lines up from the bottom. We're continuing exactly where we left off in the Rosh, and this is the way he quotes it. This is the reason why the asru tzeda. Ki pe'amim, because there are times talebim tzuda so dagim harbe, that many fish will come up, and again, you'll be trapping for tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. V'dam yilov din d'chol says, right? This is how he explains the Rosh. Right? He says, Aval barash kasav, mishum de'ef shar shetalem mitzudaso har be'dagim, v'dam yilov din d'chol. And the way that he explains that is, right? Aval l'rash talik bipoal im oster rak liyom tovol l'zman merubah. For the Rosh, it depends. If it's something that you can restrict yourself to doing only for yontif, that's okay. However, if it's something that you may end up doing for the future, like when you fish, you might take out too many fish, it's going to be aser. That's the Rosh. The Ran. So he says, now look back up. The Ran starts with the Af Tzedas Hadagim.
Okay, where does Hasbanah come in this?
What?
Okay. There has to be Hasbanah for you to be allowed to use something on Yom Tov. I mean, that was also part of the issue with the hunting and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Or with taking a bird, is you had to have Kavanah that you were going to use it.
Yes.
Okay. This is totally being ignored here.
And the issue with the fish was that they didn't have hasmana. Nobody right. would certain fowl. And then there was a question whether it's in the field.
Whether you have to pick it up, whether you're just seeing it is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So where's that going here?
Like for which issue? For the Rosh's interpretation of Tzeda?
Yes.
He says you still have to choose it. You're not allowed to be Tzayed at all.
But we can't be Tzayed because of the hasmana. In other words, it wasn't Mina Mucha. There's a concept of Mina Mucha.
No, he's saying you can't do Tzayed because you might accidentally end up doing more than you intend. Envision.
I understand. But what's he doing with the Mina Mucha concept, or does he not hold by that?
He doesn't mention it here.
See, my difficulty is I can't remember what everyone held when we were at the other Sugya, but I mean, there were these.
The Ran's right here in front of you for Tzeda. This is the whole Ran on Tzeda. You've got nowhere else to look.
It's a little bit fishy.
It's a little bit fishy. Okay. One. Let's just read the Ran, and then we'll take comments, complaints, and
No complaints.
I will be complaining. Trust me. Ve'af tzedas dagim. It's two words from the end of the line. Ve'af tzedas in the Ran. Okay. It's seven, eight lines up. Eight lines up. Ve'af tzedas dagim. Everybody see it? The end of the Ran. Okay. And then the source number dalet. Ve'af tzedas dagim. Says the Ran. Nami asru. Lefisha ain derech latzud osam yom yom. Lefisha ain osomech al hasafek shelo lesakin ma'achalo. Because no one's going to rely on the fact that you might not come up with some.
Does that mean the guy that goes out with his rod and reel and
yep.
catches one fish?
I'm not talking about one. We're talking about they were used to fish with nets. That's what we're talking about. Like,
so I'm saying, but if I had a pole and, you know, like one, that's different. That's
according to the Rush, you could make that argument. Absolutely. According to the Ron, though, he's going to say, as we're going to see, that it's a, again, it's a malacha klalis, right?
Yeah. No, I would argue that, you know, going fishing with one, not with a net,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, with one worm and a hook and a mm-hmm. whatever is the only...
Even according to the Ron. Hold that thought. Okay. Says the Gemara, he says the Ron as he continues, right? And I can even read the Ron from in here. Right? Shari eino yodea in tala mitzudas arakanis. He doesn't know. V'chulei ayin sham. Harei delaran betzeda asa mishum du regilin latzit har beidagim miyachad lahar beizman. The reason why it's rude is because we generally fish a lot. And therefore, again, it's all because of the shem ha-malachad. Harei delaran tala b'shem ha-malachad hu shem ha-malachad liyom ol izman meruba. And not for the rush. This is Rev Saratskin. This is, so I read you all that Rev Saratskin quotes from the Ron.
Question then?
Now you can ask as many questions as you want.
Okay, according to the way he explains the rush,
mm-hmm.
how does he justify, how does he understand the baking case? Because in the baking case, isn't that a little how is that any different?
Good question.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
What I'm asking is...
He says that the run is because of a gzera.
The run says
yeah.
you can bake.
Mm-hmm.
Bake to your heart's content. In fact, the Gemara says you can bake.
Correct.
Right? Everybody agrees you can bake.
Yes.
According to the run, you should have a problem, according to what Sorotskin is saying.
Why?
Because it's uvda d'chol.
What's uvda d'chol?
The baking.
Making
Why?
A ton of bread.
Because you're making a ton of, yeah, every time you're making, you want the bread to come out really
But
good.
All of that is permitted
because
you're doing it to improve your bread. That's what the Rosh will answer you.
Okay, so that, again, it's not just, it's uvda d'chol, which is offset by the improvement.
Correct, because it's doing something that justifies what you're doing today. You can't call it Ugdi Zechol if
right?
you're doing it for today's Yom Tov.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, that's how the Rush
okay.
will answer that.
Okay.
Now, here's where things are going to get ugly on two levels. Ugly on level number one is that you'll notice there is a very selective citing of the Ron here. We've got a whole big Ron in front of us. Specifically speaking, from when the Ron starts to talk... Okay, and I feel bad saying this on recording, but should be said. Somebody gave me a raya from a certain Rashiv at YU, actually, who would often say in Shir that a certain Acharon plagiarized from another Acharon. I don't think this is plagiarism. It's a very nice shot. But let's take a look at what the Ron says in the middle. We started from, again, like a whole bunch of lines up, Aval HaKarov Etzli Lefi Gemara Seinu, and then we jumped two lines that we skipped. And now let me read you those two lines in the Ron. And even though that we permit grinding pepper, v'lo halchu acharei ruba shel techina, and in that case, we do not follow the ruba, the majority of the way people do tochen. One second. Hold our horses. Even this sentence, before we even get to the Ron's answer, which we'll see the Ron's answer in a moment, I will not leave that out. Issue number one is that there is no way in the world he shouldn't be addressing this. There is zero excuse. If he read the Ron, in order to get from point A to point B, he's got to read this over. He went from the section before this straight to the section after this. This is a case that illustrates...
His family went, not him.
No, he went.
No, but his family wrote it down, so maybe they skipped some parts of this thing by mistake.
No, he said it's published from Ksav Yad Kodesho.
Right, but they may have...
Anyways, says the Ron, when it comes to grinding pepper, we don't follow the Ruba Shel Tchina. One second. If it's all about the Shem HaMelacha, if it's all about the name of the Melacha as Tochen, because Tochen is always done for a long period of time, how on earth, what rabbit could the Ron pull out of his hat in order to get out of this?
Unless you say that pepper is you wanted that day. Oh, no, what you're saying?
It doesn't matter. If it's a shame hamalacha, then it's a shame hamalacha.
But maybe it's a shame hamalacha also based on what you use for the machinery to do it. In other words, with the pepper, was a hand
okay.
process versus a large process.
Very good. And that's what the Ron's going to end up answering. The question is, can you call that Shem HaMelacha? What does it mean, Shem HaMelacha?
The actual name given to the Melacha.
Right, because it all falls under this category. Yeah, but says the Ron, says the Ron, and that's going to be my question.
Yeah.
But the Ron says very clearly, Hainu Tam, the reason is, Lefi she'ein osa shchika shehi liyoma na'asis be'osa inyin. It's not done in the same way, says the Ron. Shehi na'asis liyamim harbe, as it would be done for a long period of time. Shezu b'madoch v'zu b'rechayim. He says, why? One, you're using mortar and pestle. The other one, you're using millstones, using a mill, right? Ve'af pil pelin barei chayim shelahem, and even the grinders that we have for pepper, ena kiterech tinas chitim liyamim harbe, is not done in the same fashion. Now, is this in any way, shape, or form compatible with a Shem HaMelacha type argument?
Nope.
I can't imagine. Nope. You'd have to do a really good job, unless you're going to say, which is the way that we want to go, that the Shem HaMelacha depends on what you're actually doing.
Right.
Depends on what it if you're going to say that, first of all, B'chilas Kvodo, Iker Chasem in HaSefer.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Af Pil Pelin Barei Chayim Shelahem Enam Kederach Tchinas Chitin Liyamim Harbe. How can you defend that? Issue number three is that essentially that's going to reduce you to a gzera derabanan kaz of uvdin dechol anyways. Because once you start saying we're being mechalik between each way that you do the malacha, you're essentially saying it's no longer about a shem ha-malacha, it's really just an uvdin dechol argument.
Are there other examples like that that we can think
of? I don't know or care.
I can give you another example. I mean, a farmer that's basically got one saw or less than of land, you know, and it's only going to last them 2 or 3 days.
Right. Or, Alan's example.
A very small piece. Is that an exception to the rule? Or not? No, it should be.
Or Alan's example. You're fishing with the fishing rod instead of with...
Right. Net.
But still.
Okay, except still. Forget Alan's exact example.
This is a different... when you're doing peppers, it's different than doing... I mean, you're grinding pepper or spices, whatever you're grinding. It's different. It's different than going outside and going to the field.
Is it a different Shem HaMelacha? No. You could say the Rabbanan were goes there on Uvdin Dechol, that whenever it's the general method of people to do a particular act, they said this is a Chol act, because generally people do this in large quantities. This, however, either if it's A, done with a Shinoi, which is literally what the Ran is saying, or B, if it's another method of performing this malacha, which is not done liyamim harbe, then it's not an uvdin dechol. What the Ran is saying, you can read the Ran 100% because of uvdin dechol. Now, uvdin dechol means that, as the Ran would say, it still goes after the action that you're doing. Meaning, if this action is normally done for coming days, then it's considered an uvdin dechol. If it's not normally done for coming days, then it's not an uvdin dechol. That's where the Rabbanan would have been goes there. But you can get out of uvdin dechol in two ways. Number one, with a shinoi, which the Ran mentions, right? If you're doing it, you know, in a different way. Or number two, in cases where they weren't goes there whatsoever. That's not a shem hamalacha.
Right. So.
Okay? Now, ostensibly, one second. Let me make one more comment, then I'm going to take questions. So, what comes out at this point? And we've got about another 10, 12 minutes maybe. What comes out at this point is that we still could resolve a machlokus between the Ran and the Rosh. The Ran says it depends which of these are generally done for longer periods of time. Those are going to be asked because of uvdin dechol. Whereas the Rosh could still be saying it's because of a gzera. Fine. Now is your question. Or do we have no questions?
Yeah, so I think Howie at one point, some duffing back, talked about commercial versus home use.
Mm-hmm.
So, could you make the argument? I mean, normally with wheat, you harvest it, you take it to a mill.
Mm-hmm.
The miller grinds it. Mm-hmm. He's the one basically who's doing the grinding, mm-hmm. who's doing the whole business.
Yep.
And therefore, it's uvdin dechol. It's like uvdin dechol. Whereas if you get a farmer basically who's grinds a little bit of stuff at home.
The Ron said that, mortar and pestle. You can take your wheat, put it in.
But that's spice. That's spices.
And what if you would do that with wheat?
Just
Mutter.
Is it mutter?
I don't know.
That's applying the run. If you read the run, I think that's mutter.
It would not be mutter.
Why not?
What? Okay.
What's the answer? If you hold like Rashi, that is Doraisa, like we mentioned, then I could hear. But to say that it's a Durabana, it's because of Uvdin Dechol, how can you possibly consider taking wheat kernels and smashing them in a little bowl to be Uvdin Dechol? Nobody in their right mind ever
because
does that during the wheat day.
Because on Yom Tov, it doesn't improve the wheat. In other words, wheat they're not used to having fresh. Peppers you have fresh. So there is, at least what we've learned, there's that other Zera, that if it's something you can prepare beforehand, then you cannot do it on Yom Tov. But the question I was going to ask on this is then how does this go back to the knife? Okay, the run is saying the same
question.
With the knife. Now does it mesh?
Correct. This is one issue, okay? One issue. Very good. Keep that in mind. The truth is if you look at the Rush is saying the same thing. I'm not going to go through the Rush because we don't have the time to do it, and I want to get back to your question and to resolve our sugya before we go home, which I handily have actually my notes on my phone. It's a very short notes, but it's very... here we are. So, let's take a look. What's going to come out is, the problem with saying this, that it's all about an Uvdin Dechol, right? I'm going to dispute you with other things on different grounds, not going to get to all of it right now. But what's going to come out, as Howie points out very accurately, is that if we're understanding both the run and the rush to be agreeing, that it's really all about Uvdin Dechol, and if this malacha is generally done for a number of days, then it's going to be Uvdin Dechol malacha. And you can only get out of that with whatever you'd normally get out of Uvdin Dechol. And if it's done just for today, then you can do it, and it's not Uvdin Dechol. How then will we explain their machlokas back in our sukya? And for that, we need to go back to the basics here. And we need to forget about some of what we've learned today. According to the Ran, it all depends on the only thing that they looked at when it came to giving an Uvdin Dechol status to the Malacha, the only thing that they looked at when it came to giving a status of Uvdin Dechol to the Malacha, the only thing they looked at when it came to giving the status of Uvdin Dechol to a Malacha was if it's done Lizman Merupa. If this Malacha is done Lizman Merupa, it has the status of Uvdin Dechol. Again, if this Malacha was done Lizman Merupa, it has the status of Uvdin Dechol. Clear? Now, so therefore, for the run, let's think through all the cases. The case of Ktira, the case of Tchina, are those Uvdin Dechol? Yes. That's done Lizman Merupa. The case of sharpening a knife, is that Uvdin Dechol? Yes. It's done Lizman Merupa. Is the case of baking bread Uvdin Dechol? No, you don't bake bread Lizman Merupa. End of story. That's the Ran's definition.
What does he do with the scales? Back where you had the scales that the butcher couldn't use the scales because it's...
There are other ways that you can make something Uvdin Dechol that is beyond this. Right? But in terms of being matirit, that's what we're looking at here. We're going to call something Uvdin Dechol. One of the ways we're going to call it Uvdin Dechol is if it's always done Lizman Merupa. That particular action. Again, we're not talking about a malacha, we're talking about an action. The action of sharpening a knife is something that is Uvdin Dechol because it is always done Lizman Merupa. The action of grinding in a mill is always Lizman, right? The action of grinding pepper, on the other hand, is not always Lizman Merupa. Right? That's the way the run works. The rush. The rush says another factor is taken into account when we're figuring out Uvdin Dechol. Correct, the Gzera of Uvdin Dechol. You can call it Gzera, you can call it Uvdin Dechol, it's the same thing. It comes out to me, again, I see the Ran and the Rush echoing each other in this sugya here in Sadeh. Says the Rush, it depends on two factors. One factor it depends on, whether or not the rabbis would classify it to be Uvdin Dechol, is again, when it's generally done for. And by that definition, it's true. We'd have a problem when it comes to knives. But the Rush would say that that's not the only thing we take into account. If doing it Lizman Merupa, it's impossible to not do something that's mutter for Yontif today, meaning, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you sharpen that knife, you can't do it in a way that it wouldn't be friyantif. It's physically impossible.
Right. We talked about that.
Right. So that will be the Rosh's definition. And he'll say, so when it comes to a knife here, it's just like baking. Right? Not to mention the baking is a matter of quantity versus quality. The baking, everybody agrees, is going to be mutter because it's not done lizman merubah. But the Rosh will say, like we had the simple pshat to begin with, in the Korban Asanel, that another qualification that we take, not a qualification, another factor that we take into account when it comes to setting up a something with the chol is if it can be done in a way that will be improvement beyond what's mutter for yantif. And the answer is, no matter how you sharpen that knife, it's not going to fall under that. Therefore, Ein Hanami, the Rosh and the Ran's machlokas is tinsi. It's simply, what do we use to make something uvdin dechol?
According to the Ran, you can't use sharpen a knife.
Correct, because he doesn't look at the fact as whether it's being done for Jerpan Yontif when there were goes there the status of a weekday item on it.
But that makes the Rosh make even more sense, because he's saying the Ran actually agrees with them. He's only saying that because this is
so it gets down to a machlokas within uvdin dechol, and with this we're going to end in just a couple of minutes. But the Ran is saying, and here's where it gets to Svara. The Ran is saying it's true that this will never end up being something that won't improve the object right now. The Ran is maskim to that, but says the Ran, that's not what gives you uvdin dechol. That's not what makes something uvdin dechol. Uvdin dechol means if it's a weekday type object. However, the Rosh is willing to factor another factor into that designation, meaning if it within the Rosh is uvdin dechol, it has to be distinctly non-Yom Tovik, if I can invent that phrase.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is if the Rosh is correct on the way he sees the Ran, that he's only saying it because it's not the way that we're supposed to
mm-hmm.
post it,
yeah.
Then they may not be disagreeing at all. In other words, the Ran may be saying his Svara to satisfy everybody, but he actually holds like the Rosh. Because
I'm not
Rosh
sure
is,
what that means,
well,
but
the Rosh is saying that the Ran actually holds that Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutar. That it, even with
except for because of Ovdin Nechol, yes.
No, he's saying because this is the way that it's halakha, but we don't want to post it that way. Did he say...
I don't think so. I don't understand it that way.
I think we could talk about it next week more.
Anyways, that could be one possibility. If we're going to compare the sugyas that way, you have to know, I mean, you have to really read through this whole ginormous run to see what we hold on that. But that's where we're going to come out, I think, in terms of my, right? He does make reference to that. I think that based on that, if we do give it this Dirabanan status, we can explain the Ran in this fashion, and the Rosh in that fashion, explain the Machlokas, without having to resort to A, skipping out sections of the Ran that don't fit what we're trying to say, and B, you know, reading the Rosh in a way that we see is talking clearly about... What's his language? Uvdin dechol. This is a gzera shema yarbe. That's very different than uvdin dechol. So I think really the machlok is very minimal. And with that, I'm going to excuse myself to head down. Thank you very much.
Okay.